Hey guys, this is Joe. Today I want to introduce you to our partner Vanta. Achieving ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliance can unlock major growth for your company and build customer trust, but the process can be time intense and costly. Vanta automates compliance, getting you audit ready quickly and saving up to 85% of associated costs. And Vanta scales with your business, helping you enter new markets. Join 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora that trust Vanta. Claim 20% off Vanta at vanta.com/startupradio. That's vanta.com, spelled vanta.com/startupradio.
When you're an entrepreneur with a great idea, it can be daunting to find funding. Startup Raven takes the process out of your hands by helping entrepreneurs connect and learn about potential investors all in one place, without any long-filled forms or 1,000 questions. Sign up for early access at startupraven.com.
Welcome to startuprad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from startuprate.io. Today, I do have an interview guest from Munich. I would like to welcome Fabian here at startuprate.io. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing great. Awesome. Thanks a lot for having me today.
Totally my pleasure. We may add that you are from Neuron, a AI startup from Munich, which is also associated with a program from Unternehmertum. And if you'd like to learn more about Unternehmertum, go down here in the show notes. There is a link to the interview. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about what you and your co-founders did, and what was the starting point for your startup?
Of course, I'm happy to do that. Maybe I start with me and then I continue with my co-founders. So my personal background is basically I once studied human factors engineering. That basically means, the creation of UIs, both on software and hardware. What I essentially did is focusing on software and more specifically on personal assistants. You know, that was more or less 2017, 2018. And after my studies, I went to Stanford to further research this topic. And this was basically where all of those NLP networks like Transformers were just introduced, had all the names of characters from Sesame Street. You might remember Bert and Ernie and all of those people. And yeah, I basically learned the power behind those networks. And, it was more or less, I would say now it's easy to say, but I would say you could already see early trends that, if you add more data, if you improve the algorithms as well, that the performance will improve obviously as well. And during that time, since also, Palo Alto and Stanford is quite expensive to live, I already worked for some manufacturing companies, mostly on sort of digital projects, right? So that would be like Akuka and Osram and so on, mostly around Munich, I would say. And basically the topic was always the same. How can we support our blue collar workforce? Because we have this huge problem here in Germany of a shortage of skilled workforce. And this is more or less how I, was introduced to the initial problem.
Mm-hmm. We may add a few points. First, KUKA is a robotics company.
I see.
Yeah, and the blue-collared workers, as we say, there's a shortage, but usually due to the vocational training system here in Germany, you have a lot of very well-educated blue-collared workers. They're just simply not enough.
Exactly. And especially they're retiring, right? So that's, I think, like the biggest problem what we see here in whole Europe, but also in the US, that, we have huge challenges right now with, the switch to renewable energies, like a lot of infrastructure that needs to be built, but just not the hands, so to speak, that can actually do that. So that's a huge problem.
Installing solar panels, building up big windmills, working on the power lines and stuff like this. So that is all what we're talking about here. And now you guys came in. And the first time I heard it, I had a picture in mind, like a blue collar worker somewhere high up on a pillar, on a huge energy landline with an Alexa like loudspeaker on the backpack, and he was talking to it. Ah, okay, and what to do next? What is it actually, and where are the use cases for your assistant? And by the way, what's the name of your assistant, Ernie or Bert?
Now today, basically, we're also using Transformer Systems in the background. That was just basically the early names, right? But obviously, it's like 2023 right now, so obviously the Transformers. There was quite some progress ever since. How can imagine it? I think it's very similar what you said, however, not always on sort of power grids, right? So we started with classical manufacturing. So imagine, for instance, like, huge turbines, huge couplings, motor blocks and stuff like that. And here what we've seen basically in the field is that there are two big problems for those service technicians. One is this access to information, and two is basically also the documentation work of sorts. And that means what we provide them, and this is very much close, this Alexa case that you just said, that you essentially can just ask for information opposed to sort of looking for it and searching for it. And just that you have an idea, because this could obviously be, you know, what I just said, turbines or motor blocks, but even huge plants, such as, for instance, a water power plant, which is quite a huge asset, if you think. And what was done until, you know, end of the 2010s, so to speak, was the moment one of those plants was done, there was still a, like a huge truck delivered, which brought the physical manuals, right? So can you imagine, you know, being a technician, you have an issue and, you know, this is what, where you have to look into. So that's exactly, what we try to tackle. So, we have basically our own transformer architecture. We are learning based on those manuals, what contents there are and so on, so that you have more or less like a ChatGPT-like interaction, however, not on this, on the whole internet, but basically just on your organizational knowledge, or in this case, all the knowledge around those machines and complex machinery.
I remember vividly when looking for information from starting in the early 2000s in large company intranets till maybe this very day, that when you have some keywords and you punch them in, either you get nothing or you get a lot of completely unrelated stuff.
Exactly. And this, honestly, this still has been the experience, or I would say is even now the experience, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, enterprise search, you know, that a lot of it is keyword powered, but I think this is one of the big levers, so to speak, for AI to essentially revolutionize, right? So A, in the support, like the customer support, but even internal support, because what a lot of people don't know, service organizations are normally sort of organized in different levels, right? So there's a technician, but again, they don't have all the answers. So there's normally always like a second level, a hotline where people can call and be like, I faced this problem and so on. And again, this, you know, needs a lot of capacities internally, capacities that we do not have anymore. So this is where we come in with a personal assistant to help those people with those, you know, simple questions. How do I do that? How do I do MX? Exactly. But it does not even stop there. We even help them to document afterwards what they did. Again, very simple, so that they can also share the knowledge and leave it within the organization.
I was thinking when I first heard it was something that either integrates with some kind of glasses or some kind of speaker headphone system. Is that possible, or is it something down the road?
It's in theory, you're right. I think AR glasses and such, you know, were very famous. But what we've learned, it's a very nice use case for sort of fairs and so on. the issues when you're out there in the field and, you know, imagine a dirt environment and everything. So it's not this high-tech environment you are usually faced with. And the tool that people have basically always in the back pocket is a smartphone, right? And you could even go to Africa and there you still find the smartphone. So that's where we said, okay, this is essentially where we need to run on, right? So that's basically our hardware type.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you guys have been in the Alchemist Accelerator?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was a pleasure. It was a great learning experience. Because as you said at the beginning, like we are from Munich, at least I am actually, we're quite a international team as well as a founder team. Like we have three founders and everyone comes from a different continent. So we have Arturo originally from Costa Rica, Ali from Pakistan and me from Germany. And both I know actually from the CDTM, the Center for Digital Technology Management, which is more or less also, you know, it's all one mixture. I feel like you mentioned already Unternehmertum, which I would say is, you know, part of this, yeah, ever becoming stronger startup network here in Munich. Mm-hmm. And this is how I met them. And we are quite international when it comes to the sort of, you know, where we come from. Mm-hmm. And this more or less also reflects down to the team, because I think right now we even come from four different continents and also have like a lot of different nationalities, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I see Ali has been at the MIT in Boston. You've been at Stanford. Is there a friendly rivalry going on?
I think so. Actually, MIT would have been my second choice. So, you know.
I hope you're not applying somewhere there in the future. They may be able to find this interview.
Okay, fair enough. No, I think it's a friend. It's both are good, very good institutions. In the end, it was very much about the research topic. Mm-hmm. I think for both, like me and Ali, both interestingly already aligned with AI and NLP. I think it always really depends on the topic where I want to go when it comes to research.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is as well, it's also a choice of clothing, because if you're at MIT in Boston in the winter, you need a lot of warm socks, right?
Definitely. So Stanford is very, you know, very much more friendly when it comes to climate.
I see. You guys also have already published a seed funding in November 2022, 1.8 million. Congratulations to that. So where are you guys right now? We understand it's supporting blue collar workers. When I've been thinking about it, what I had in mind was your virtual version of those very experienced colleagues that know all the answers, but don't have always time to talk to you. And you're just taking out this time factor and you can always ask the people, what will happen if I pull that pin?
Exactly. So more or less, so it's definitely about, you know, augmenting those people, because what we have seen is that a lot of even, you know, software startups or like software in general is normally targeted into the white collar space, right? So there's mm-hmm. like, even for, you know, generative AI right now, I think I know like a handful of startups that are sort of targeting the sort of not so sexy businesses, which is, you know, in our case, for instance, manufacturing. And really those blue collar workers, right? Because white collar, when it comes to, I don't know, HR management, procurement, stuff like that, I think there's a lot of, that's normally the first thing people think about coming from a well-educated background. Exactly. And this is just a huge gap that we saw. And if you think about it, like worldwide, I think 80% of the whole population qualify as blue collar. And that's definitely something that we tend to forget. However, the software space, if you compare it to the white collar software space, is super underdeveloped, right? And there's one thing what I learned in the past is, you know, if you are in a market that is expected to grow a lot, it's also easier for you to grow. Exactly. You're right. So we are seed stage, right? So we essentially, collected the seed round with, you know, the first handful of customers that we had. And now for us, it's really about scaling, right? Obviously also further developing the product, making sure that we also meet on a good enough ROI for our customers. And exactly, that's basically the focus where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you also have international ambitions. I read, for example, here when we discussed with your colleagues, Singapore Airlines as, is it a reference customer already?
Yeah, I would say so. That's totally true. So it's very interesting. So I think we did a lot of things different, what every startup playbook would tell you not to do, right? For instance, even our first MVP was already sort of internationally, if you will. Our first sort of test users already came from, you know, all around the world, which normally is not sort of the easiest. However, again, you know, the sort of multi-language capabilities of transformers help us to achieve this, right? It's, I think, very much this technology play that's that plays in our favor. Exactly. And, you know, the target company we normally target right now here in Germany are really those hidden champions, those manufacturers who anyway have service operations around the world, right? Those are those export champions that are delivering to all continents here on this globe, so to speak. And hence the need was there from the very first case, which was like, okay, yeah, sure, we can start with sort of Germans or German technicians. But normally, and that's what you said at the beginning, they already have a very high educational level, right? It's tougher when you go, you know, to different countries where, you know, obviously it's further away from the headquarter, and they are often also the educational levels are not so high. And there normally we can also provide the biggest value, right? Because obviously if you're not that well trained, you get more out of such an assistant that you just described.
So Fabian, we already talked about your reference clients. Can you tell us a little bit how your average client looks like?
Mm-hmm. So normally the type of company we're working with right now would be, as I said, manufacturing companies from typical mechanical engineering till semiconductors and those also so-called OEMs, right? We would normally work with the service organizations here. So this means you have like a bigger service teams full of service technicians who are out in the field helping customers. And for instance, like one typical client, which is coming from semiconductors, because what we've learned already, right, we are talking about knowledge. And obviously, if you think about a small screw or something compared to a huge semiconductor line where a lot of things are processed, the knowledge mostly is needed more on the later example. Right. So the more complex machines and processes become, the more value we can normally also provide. And for instance, here in the semiconductors industry, what we are doing here is very similar with one of our reference clients. It's called ASMPT. They produce those semiconductor placements for like the backend equipment in semiconductors. So, for instance, Intel or Foxconn would be their customers. And also there, obviously, they have like a huge service team themselves and, you know, hundreds of technicians. And what we did here first is actually that we started internally. And since their own technicians and also the management there was so excited about, you know, the ease of use, about the way that you essentially just can ask a question before you had to, you know, look through thousands of pages in order to get one of your questions handled, they even decided to sell this to their own customers. So even there, we essentially now have the possibility that customers of them can buy the product then for their own operating teams, which is like a very interesting use case for our customers, because suddenly this sort of, you know, cost center at the beginning becomes like a profit center. And today what service centers often do is that they sell the technician himself, so to speak, right? And then obviously there's the spare part business. And what I think comes next is this whole software business as well, right? Where they provide platforms and services on top. And again, like knowledge is one of the key assets that those company have and what they can provide then also to their own customers. So I think this is just to give you like a little bit of an idea, you know, how big this can be. It excites us every day, because in the end, our mission is to really support those blue collar workers across industries. And that is what we can do with this approach.
I was wondering, is your software already able for white labeling, meaning you sell the software to client XYZ and they sell it with their highly complex machinery? Can it get the look and feel of their clients, like the graphical user interface?
Of course, that's what I'm talking about, right? So the industry term, very good, is called white labeling. So that would be then their own sort of generative AI assistant, which again, like in the era we're in right now, where in the time we're in right now, is quite exciting for a lot of service organizations.
Mm-hmm. And we may add that hidden champions in Germany, they're all over the place, from the chemical industry to machine building, digging tunnels. For example, the windows of very high skyscrapers, there are only a handful of companies that could supply them in the world, and one of them is in Germany, and so on and so forth. That is quite a lot where you do have a potential. What will be the next steps for you guys?
Yeah, exactly. Like right now, as I said, we still try to focus on this region, but, you know, slowly also sort of reaching out to different regions in terms of like sales processes, right? So that's definitely like just the next logical step. And obviously also we want to further, you know, build the team and product, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of speed right now when it comes to natural language processing technologies and generative AI. And I think we are right now in a very good position in order to also benefit from those technology advancements, right? And this normally just translate then obviously into product and people.
Mm-hmm. I do get the impression that a few of the entrepreneurs who started 2 to 5 years ago, they currently regret not to be able to start now with all the large language models and all the natural language processing we do have in place right now, that they can build up the company right now, because they do see the potential of that. And that is something you guys are harvesting.
Definitely. I think, however, it also plays in our advantage that we, you know how those things work even, you know, before it was like as easy to build as it is right now. Because in the end, as you know, like every AI system, it's also about the data that we collect. And for us, this normally means like mechanical data, right? Manuals, like even the mechanical tongue, so to speak, or the mechanical language is very specific. And there, or what this, you know, what this made us do those, the, for instance, when it comes to document processing, stuff like that, we've just seen a lot until right now. So this is why we can really pick up the speed now with the technology transforming as well, right? So that's, I'm quite happy that we also started even before that, but you could argue that, you know, the sort of NLP summer already started. That was back in 2019 or whatever.
Where are you currently looking for new clients? If somebody's listening to this, are you limited to Asia, to Europe, North America? Are you, what languages do the manuals have to be in? I would assume German and English wouldn't be a problem.
Of course not. So again, right, so that's one of the great advantages, that in theory we can work with any type of language, right? What we did a lot of, where we did most of the experience so far is obviously just where we are, like, all the European languages, right? German, English, Spanish, French, all of them. So exactly, when you say whether we are looking for clients, obviously always we are looking for more customers and clients. Like normally we tend to work with those service organizations, right? So if somebody listens in a service organization, says, hey, yeah, we need to also augment our own workforce, want to try out generative AI and how this helps to improve our own processes, then definitely reach out.
I would also see it as a potential option to have third-party workers employed there and they can draw on the knowledge from your tool?
Totally, right. So that's also very normal, actually, in mechanical engineering, so that not everything is done by your own workforce, so to speak, but especially in different countries, you normally have like distributors who then sometimes also do the service. That's like another thing that, you know, what we already can provide is just like a very elaborate access and write management, so that certain people have, you know, access to more knowledge than others. But yeah, you're totally right. I would even say the standard today.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys be open to talk to new investors? I assume you had last year the seed funding, so there will be next year, the year after, Series A on the horizon?
Exactly. So, I mean, right now we're not fundraising, but, you know, as it works, it's like normally that we are looking for a sort of partner we can trust and that are basically also on the same mindset as we are. So that's why probably always helps to get it to know each other. But yeah, we're currently not fundraising or something.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys currently looking to hire somebody? Because usually the answer is good developers. I would assume in your case also developers with NLP capabilities.
Exactly. So we are always looking for great talent, right? So for that, it's basically always all the funnels are open. As you already said, so if you are like an expert with NLP system or you want to become one and you're just super interested and sort of, you know, bring some fire here, sparking interest, then definitely reach out. We have quite a big tech team, which is probably also different to like a lot of different startups we know, just because of the stack we are providing to those customers we are working with already. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sounds pretty good. Everybody who'd like to learn more, down here in the show notes, there is a link to your personal LinkedIn profile, the company website, and of course a place where you can learn more about the open positions. You can find everything on our Medium blog.
Excellent. Perfect.
Great. Fabian, was a pleasure having you here. Thank you very much. Fingers crossed for you guys and come back when you're raising Series A.
Sure. We will always come back. Thanks for the invitation again. It was very nice talking to you today, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.